Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul writes that every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. He goes on to say that it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair, and that her hair is given to her for a covering. Does this mean that if a wife has short hair, she is sinning? And how does this pertain to single women? Finally, how does verse 16 relate to this section of Scripture?
Yeah, we haven't had a "does it really mean that" question in a while.
Yeah, I forgot to say, does it really mean that?
Yes, thank you. I was going to be twitching here for a few minutes if you hadn't said that. I've gotten numerous questions on this passage over the years, and so I'm really glad to be addressing it here. Our questioner has three questions. Is a wife sinning if she has short hair? How does this pertain to single women? How does verse 16 relate to this passage? And we'll read verse 16 eventually. I'm going to add one more question just to address questions that people will inevitably have as follow-ups. And my question that I'm adding is, how should we understand the command for wives to wear head coverings? Because the vast majority of evangelical churches do not wear, their women do not wear head coverings. So what should we think about that? We will likely deal with that one in a second episode, that question that I'm adding, okay? So first of all, a somewhat typical caveat that we give to these kinds of questions is this is not the easiest passage to interpret in the New Testament. In fact, this is one of the more difficult ones. So I'm not at all dogmatic about what I'm going to say here. I could be persuaded otherwise. I'm happy to listen to other people's thoughts on this. But this is my best understanding. And again, we've talked about multiple tiered issues, first tier, second tier, third. This is like a fifth, sixth, seventh. I mean, it's in my mind, it's way down there.
Right, right.
So we can disagree and be okay with each other.
So is a wife sinning if she has short hair?
All right. Now, this may be a little bit tedious, but I understand that most people don't listen to this podcast with their Bibles open, so I'd like to read the whole passage just for context. So would you read that for us, Kyle? This is 1 Corinthians 11, 3 through 12. Or no, actually, we'll go through 15.
Absolutely. Okay. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven. For if a wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair or shave her head, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as a woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering.
Okay, thank you. Now, the question again that we're addressing first here is it sinful for a wife to cut her hair short? And that question comes from verses 14 and 15. I'll read those again. Doesn't nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it's a disgrace to him, but if a woman has has long hair, it is her glory? There's also a similar verse. Verse 6 reads, it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair or shave her head. So, based on those things, some would say that Paul is saying, look, the natural order that God has created is for men to have short hair and women to have long hair, and for them to have the opposite is a disgrace. Doesn't nature itself teach you this? And that you know, that would seem to be on the just the face of the text, that would make sense. However, I would say that, or I would remind everybody that when we interpret Scripture, we need to interpret Scripture with Scripture. And we find things in the Old Testament that would lead us to believe that this actually is not the case, that it's just part of God's natural order for men to have short hair, for women to have long hair. We don't get anything like what Paul says in the Old Testament, and we would expect it. If it was universally disgraceful for a woman to have short hair or for a man to have long hair, we would expect that holiness code in Leviticus and Deuteronomy to give that to us. But we're not left to make an argument from silence. We actually find positive teaching in the Old Testament that would indicate that it can't be inherently disgraceful for a man to have long hair and a woman to have short hair. There is evidence that both men and women had long hair in the Old Testament, at least what we would consider long, okay? Now, how do we know that? There's several ways that we know that. First of all, Leviticus chapter 10, Moses commanded Aaron and his sons not to tear their clothes or let their hair hang loose in mourning for Aaron's other sons, Nadab and Abihu. If you remember that story, Leviticus 10, Nadab and Abihu, they offer strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord killed them instantly. Aaron and his sons, they're like, what's going on here? And Moses warns them, do not mourn for them. And that sign of mourning for the Jews was tearing your clothes, letting your hair hang loose. So if Moses told these priests not to do those things, then we deduce, well, that was the custom for, that's how you showed that those were signs of mourning. You tear your clothes, you let your hair hang loose. Now, that last part gives us a clue about their hair. Now, for someone like me, Kyle, if you were to tell me to let my hair down as a sign of mourning, I'm not exactly sure how I would accomplish that. My hair is up right now, and it's also down because it's just short. My hair's short. For there to be a distinction between having your hair up and your hair down implies that people must have worn hair that we would consider long. I mean, in our culture, if you can say to a guy, let your hair down, and he's able to do it, we would say, oh, he's that guy with long hair.
With a man bun.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Probably. Have you heard Tim Hawkins' song about the man bun?
I haven't.
That's hilarious.
I bet it is.
I'm sure it's on YouTube. Tim Hawkins' boy. Man bun. Okay, so that's one way that we might know that there's something different between what we would consider long hair and them, and that men had what we would consider long hair. Second, lepers were instructed in Leviticus 13 to let their hair hang loose, which implies the same thing. They must have had hair that was long enough that they could either wear it up or they could wear it down. Third, priests, and this is related to the thing with Moses in Leviticus 10, priests, according to Leviticus 21:10, were not allowed to enter into these expressions of mourning when they were consecrated for their priestly duties. So if they are on the job as priests, if they're consecrated and they're doing their priestly duties, they are not allowed to show these signs of mourning. And that text goes further. It says they had special instructions. Those special instructions were this: they could not shave their heads, neither could they just let their hair grow and grow and grow. They had to keep their hair trimmed. And because that is specified, we should understand that to be a special instruction for them. Everyone else could observe the signs of mourning. Everyone else could let their hair grow. Everyone else could shave their head if they wanted to. But the priests are said, no, you don't do that. You keep it trimmed. There's a fourth reason to think that it is not inherently sinful for men to have long hair. And that is this concept of a Nazarite vow that we read about in number 6. Those who took a Nazarite vow could not cut their hair. And remember, the most famous Nazarite in the Bible perhaps is Samson. They couldn't cut their hair. Rather, Numbers 6:5 reads, he, the Nazarite, shall let the locks of his hair, of the hair of his head, grow long. So they were commanded to let their hair grow long. Now, the thing to note about Nazarites, and this is extremely helpful for this question, I believe, Nazarites were specially consecrated to the Lord. I mean, they were holy to the Lord. They couldn't drink. They couldn't touch a dead animal. There's a number of things that they couldn't do. And in others, they could not cut their hair. So because they were what you might call uber followers of Yahweh, I mean, they were holy to the Lord, it can't be the case that it is an abomination to God's natural order for men to have long hair. And yet, we still have Paul saying it's a disgrace for a man to have long hair and a disgrace for a woman to cut hers. That's my paraphrase, okay? Now, Scripture doesn't contradict Scripture, so what does Paul mean? Now, I would relate what we've seen, we've talked almost exclusively about men to this point, men in the Old Testament. I would relate this to women because if Paul is saying this hard thing, seemingly dogmatic thing about men in the New Testament, but we find in the Old Testament that that was not a hard and fast rule, we can infer that the same thing is true about women. If he's saying that it's disgraceful for a man to have long hair, but we find in the Old Testament that's not inherently so, then when he says it's disgraceful for women to have short hair, we can infer, well, that there's no reason to think that it is inherently wrong for a woman to have short hair, okay? So what does Paul mean if Scripture can't contradict Scripture? Here is my answer to that, and it's not just my answer. There's the plethora of folks who would hold this position. He's writing to a particular cultural context. So consider the words that he uses to describe the cutting of a woman's hair in verse 6. This is 1 Corinthians 11:6. The first word he uses is the word used to describe a sheep being shorn. This is like cutting hair extremely short. The second verb he uses describes someone being shaved completely clean. Okay, so we're talking about extremely short hair or no hair, which is descriptive of men's hair in the Greco-Roman world. As a general rule, men had short hair. Think Caesar. You know, we've all seen statues of Caesar, pictures of Caesar. Short hair. Women typically had long hair. This was a cultural expression of masculinity and femininity. Men looked like men. Women looked like women. Okay? Now, there is Old Testament instruction about that, about the idea that men should look like men, women should look like women. We find this in Deuteronomy 22:5. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. Now, that's strong language. I mean, it was an abomination for a man to dress like a woman and vice versa. Now, we need to keep in mind that underneath the laws of the Old Testament are principles, and this one we might boil down to just what I've already described. Men should look like men. Women should look like women. Humankind should observe the differences that God has created between the genders, and they should do that by the way that they dress. Okay, and this is because God created men and women to be different, to have different roles. For us to blur their differences is disrespectful to his design of the two genders. And we see this demonstrated in Genesis 2 and 3, okay? God laid down these roles in Genesis 2. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve disregarded them, and it led to catastrophe. Adam took on the role of a woman. Eve took on the role of a man. It led to the fall, okay? So my view is that Paul is applying this principle that a man should look like a man, a woman should look like a woman, out of respect for God's design for differences in the genders. Paul's applying that to the culture of the Greco-Roman world. It is disgraceful for a man to look like a woman. And in that Greco-Roman world, a man had short hair, woman had long hair. Now, we could apply the same principle today, the spirit of Paul's instruction, by saying that women should wear overtly feminine hairstyles. They should use their hair to look like women. In our culture, women can do that with short hair. It's possible. The shorter it is, the harder it is, the more difficult it is to look like a woman, to be overtly feminine. But it can be done. Likewise, men should look distinctively male. They should use their hair to do that. So is it sinful for a married woman to cut her hair short? My answer would be, not if she still obviously looks like a woman. Be distinctively female. If your shorter hairstyle enables you to do that, my view is that it's not a problem because you're observing the spirit of this text and the spirit of teaching across the scriptures, which is that women should look like women, men should look like men.
And how does this pertain to a single woman?
Okay. Now, this question is kind of bringing in what we haven't talked about yet, which is the head covering issue. But the short hair question, I believe, would apply the same way. A single woman should look like a woman, just like a married woman should look like a woman. The other part of this, which we're going to address in the next episode, pertaining to head covering, I don't think it would apply to a single woman because here's a spoiler alert. I'm going to make the case in the next episode that these head coverings are symbols of chastity and symbols that a woman is married. So a single woman would not need a sign of the authority of her husband on her body. Okay. So the issue, should a wife wear a head covering when she prays or prophesies? Well, it's specifically talking about wives. So, strictly speaking, that doesn't pertain. The head covering thing does not pertain to single ladies. The short hair thing does, I would say.
And how does verse 16 relate to this passage?
All right. Verse 16, we haven't read it yet. It comes at the very end. Paul says, if anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. Now, that might make a little bit more sense if we were to read the whole thing again and tack that onto the end, but we're not going to take the time to do that, and it's difficult to understand anyway. Mm. My view is that he's saying, if your inclination is to say, well, your church can do it one way, we're going to do it our way. In other words, your church can have signs of women expressing signs of masculinity and men expressing signs of femininity. You could do it that way. We're going to do it this other way. I believe that Paul is saying, no church of God does it differently. These principles apply everywhere. That is to say, the underlying principles apply everywhere. Men should look like men, women should look like women. And what we're going to say about head coverings in the next episode, that should be applied everywhere.
Yes. Right. Let's go ahead and we'll cut it there.
Okay.
And we'll pick up next time.
Sure.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.